Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we open our hearts to you. That your life will flow through your people, Lord God. We bless you, my God. Lord, let the entrance of your word bring forth light. My God, we bless you. My God, we bless you. Lord, have your way. My God, in our gathering, oh God. My God, Lord, we ask that you will anoint our ears,
yes,
to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Father, we pray for utterance. We pray, God, that you would speak through us. My God, and your word, oh God, will come, my God, with the life of God in it, oh God, to bring about a change, oh God. We bless you. Let your word break down barriers. My God, break down, oh God, every stronghold, my God. My God, my God. Every, oh God, lethargy, every slothfulness,
hallelujah,
let your word break it down, oh God. Lord, every hardness of heart, let your word break down, oh God. In the name of Jesus, my God, we bless you. Every human wisdom, every human reasoning, let your word break down, oh God. My God, let there be a hunger in our hearts to seek for the living God. Lord, we bless you. Touch us, O God. Cause us to see. Cause us to knock, O God. My God, cause us to ask, O God, day by day, my God. My God, we bless you. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Brethren, I've been so blessed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Coming to Texas. Hallelujah. I wasn't sure that we are going to come. Hallelujah. But Robert kept smiling as hallelujah. Maybe he heard a voice. Hallelujah. But when the Spirit and the bride say come, you can't resist it.
Amen.
You must come. Praise the Lord. And that voice is growing stronger day by day. The Spirit and the bride is saying what? Come and drink. Praise the Lord. God has been good to us. Years ago, we were in French Riviera having a beautiful holiday in a lovely apartment with swimming pool. Me and the children. And as we were there, the Lord spoke to me and said, what inheritance will you leave for yourself and for your children?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. What inheritance will you leave for yourself and for your children? Will you leave them the two houses you have in Nigeria? Hallelujah. Will you leave them a very beautiful bank balance? Hallelujah. Or good cars? What inheritance will you leave for your children and for yourself? What will it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? What will you give in exchange for your soul? What will you give? Hallelujah. And as I was there, my heart began to burn. And God was saying to me, if you only leave for yourself inheritance here and your children, among all men, you're the most miserable. Bill Gates. Hallelujah. Warren Buffett, Donald Trump's. What
is the difference between you and them. If they will leave for their children inheritance, and that's what you leave for them as well. And God began to move my heart to say unto you, O God, do I open my heart? And as you open up to God, God begins to pour His life through you. Bible says that he that wins a soul is wise. And the first soul to be won is my own soul. Praise the Lord. He that wins a soul is wise. Hallelujah. He's a wise virgin. Praise the Lord. And from then onwards, I began to make physical changes in my life. This world is practical. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I work in computers and I spend hours working very hard. From the age of 17, I have been working. Hallelujah. I won't tell you my age. Hallelujah. But I've been working, getting close to 50, 47, 48. Praise the Lord. But, hallelujah. And I've been working all my life. I've heard this word for so many years. Since the 80s, when Brother Buff, Brother Dusil, Brother Mark came to Owerri, I was there in Grace Tabernacle when this word came. I remember Brother Chizuke came also after that with Brother Emmanuel. And when they began to speak about that this temple is not a temple, a mansion out there, I was wondering, where are they coming from? You know, that the temple of God is you. Hallelujah. And I began to seek the Lord. But over the years, I began to also seek the things of this life. Began to focus more energy in the things of this life. And I lost a cutting edge in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was still born again. I was still like Saul, going to battles, winning some battles. But the truth about Saul is that the ark of his presence was never there. Hallelujah. But he won some battles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But when David came, one thing David did, he said, before we start, let's go back and seek for the ark and bring it back. Hallelujah. And obviously the ark dwells in the holies of holies. Hallelujah. So I won some battles. I played religion. But God began to move my heart. And I began to pray. I said, God, I remember Brother Bud came to once to London, UK. He said, God loves his people. I haven't seen him for a couple of years, but they were in a prayer meeting. And I think God gave me a vision about Brother Ike, myself. And in that vision, he saw boxes upon boxes. And the boxes were blocking the light from coming in. Hallelujah. And I remember he said, let's pray for this brother. Yes. I wasn't there. Praise the Lord. But God saw where I was. I was still going to battles. I was still winning battles like Saul. But God is saying, the ark of the covenant, his presence is not there. Praise the Lord. And I remember when he had that vision, I used to go to work sometimes around 7 a.m. I would take my lunch to work. I won't even have time to eat the lunch. I'll bring it back home. Be around 10 p.m. I would take my lunch to the office. But because of the intensity of my job, I can't break for a minute to eat. And if I cannot eat natural food, I'm not sure I had a time to also eat spiritual food that gives me energy. Hallelujah. But I was still going to battles. I was still winning some battles. But his presence was missing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I relate fully when the Bible talks about the wise and the foolish virgins. Hallelujah. Because both of them were engaged. But it's only at the midnight hour you begin to see the demarcation, the differences. When darkness gets intensively dark, you begin to see. So, as I was there, I said to myself, I said, God, I will begin to make change where my treasure is. And the Bible says, where your treasure is, that's what? Your heart will be. Oh Lord, I don't have time. But you have time to do every other thing but to seek the Lord. Where your heart is, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Hallelujah. And I began to seek the Lord. Began to cry unto God. I said, God, restore what I have lost. Restore the years that have been eaten up by the cankerworms. Hallelujah. Lord, bring a restoration. And that journey of restoration starts with you. Hallelujah. The Lord gives the invitation, but you have to stand up and begin to walk back to the Father's house. Praise the Lord. Don't forget, I was going to battle. I was winning battles as Saul. But his presence was not there. And it is his presence that changes the man, that changes the soul, that brings about a resurrection, a quickening. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then I began to seek the Lord. You know, I was so amazed that I have lived in Europe for so many years. And I never had time to attend any conference. And God puts you in a location for a reason. London is so central to the whole world. It's a major hub. Where from there, if you begin to understand why God brought you out. And I remember something that God keeps telling me. You know, listen, I brought you out to this location. Just like David. David had he wasn't rich. But God brought him from where he took him from keeping sheep, and made him a king in Israel. And each time David fought us, God would say, remember from where I took you. Hallelujah. And let that remembrance propel you to love the Lord and to give him your whole heart. So I began to seek the Lord. Began to make practical changes in my life. Began to invest my time in the things of the Lord. Began to invest my time in seeking the Lord, in pursuing him. And also began to open my heart for God to bring about a change within me. Hallelujah. And as I began to do that, the Lord began to bring a time of refreshing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So brethren, I thank God for what he is doing. You know, when I came to Texas here, I was wondering, do I go to Nigeria for the end of year? I love it. I love being in my village end of year. Believe me, I remember when I was growing up, I said, Lord, no, I said to myself, I can't see myself spending December 25th anywhere else than in my village. Hallelujah. I like the birds singing there at night. I like the rains, you know, heavy rain, sometimes, you know, when it falls. But God said, go to Texas. Praise the Lord. Go to Texas. And here I am. And I have been blessed abundantly in these few days we've been here. Praise the Lord. I want to share with you tonight, just briefly, from 2 Kings. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me put on my glasses. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Kings. And I want to read from 2 Kings 6. It's a little story that captures what I've just said tonight in my testimony. It says, and the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold now the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Hallelujah. The place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Brethren, for God to move, I had to realize that where I am dwelling, hallelujah, is not the right place to dwell. Says the place where we dwell is too straight for us. It's tight. It's narrow. It's distressing. God does not want me to dwell in that place. Brethren, where do you dwell? Hallelujah. Where do you dwell? We have heard about the tabernacle and the various stages. Where, honestly, in your heart, do I dwell? Do you dwell? Hallelujah. Where do you dwell? He says the place where we dwell is too straight for us. It is too straight. The Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Brethren, where do we dwell? It says there in verse 2, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. You know, we sang tonight, unto you, O Lord, do I open up my heart. Brethren, as you begin to understand where we are, the condition you're in, and the time left of the Lord, brethren, what do you need to do? What do I need to do? That the condition where we are, where we are, God in his mercy is holding back, waiting for the sealing of the sons of God. Waiting for us to realize that where we are is not good enough. He is crying to us to open up. You know, in my life, I had an issue in my life for so many years that troubled me, besetting sin. And I was dwelling there for years. And I remember I began to cry unto the Lord. Say, God, I don't like where I am dwelling. Hallelujah. I don't like where I am dwelling, what I am doing. And the Lord will meet you where you are dwelling. He will meet me where I am dwelling. Hallelujah. And He wants us to dwell in the holiest of holies. Praise the Lord. And then He says there, verse 2, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And He answered, go ye. Hallelujah. If you look at this verse 2, it looks good. But look at verse 3. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servant. And he said, I will go. Hallelujah. In verse 2 it says, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. Brother, you know, the Bible says that the Lord answers people according to the idols in their heart. He says there, let us go over there. And the next verse says, one of them began to say, no, please go what? With us. Go with us. Let's see Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 14. And then I will expand that thought a little bit. Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel talks about idols. He says there, then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me, and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart. Ezekiel 14. And put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord, go, no, to God. He said, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idol in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the hearts of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourself from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separated himself with me, and set up his idol in his heart, and put the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me. I, the Lord, will answer him by myself, and I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him, and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. And they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him. That the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted anymore with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, says the Lord. Praise the Lord. And in this 2 Kings, it says in verse 2, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he said, go ye. Verse 3 says, and one said, be content, I pray thee. Go with thy servant. And he answered, I will go. Brethren, you know, the coming days, the coming years, there will be a lot of pressure to go in our own way, to make plans. Some of those plans may not necessarily look bad. Some of them may be awful. But God is saying, take a time, take a break. Open your heart up. Look unto me. Even when you're very, very sure of what you are doing, the Lord is saying, one is saying here, please go with us. Remember in verse 3, he says here, go ye. And believe me, a lot of churches have gone. Go ye. But the Lord have not gone with them. A lot of brethren have gone. The Lord has not gone with them. He says, go ye. According to the idols in one's heart, that can motivate you, that can cause you to begin to walk, and you begin to think the Lord is there leading. But take time and say, Lord, 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 please go with me. Let me read a scripture in Exodus 33. In Exodus 33, regarding the importance of having the Lord, having his presence, having his mind, even at this hour we live. Because that is what that will bring about a change. Exodus 33, it says there, and the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it, and I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Havites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee. Can you see that? The Lord is saying, I will send an angel to go with thee. This angel will bring forth, will drive away the Amorites, will do great miracles. But I, the Lord, because of the hardness of their heart, saying, he will not go with them. We saw in verse 3 where it says, go ye. The church today is having great miracles. Having great breakthroughs. You claim it, you get it. But the Lord is saying, I will not go because of the hardness of heart. The Lord wants to come and change me. Hallelujah. So he said here, my angels will go with you. And the church today is saying, Lord, praise the Lord. You can stay back, but let your angels go. We're happy with that. But let's read on. Moses saw beyond that. I said, Lord, no. If you don't go with me, Lord, I am not going. I need your presence. Let's read on. He says there in verse 3, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And this is when God has moved mightily. Moses has gone to the mountains, gotten the Ten Commandments, and he was there because the Lord delayed. Moses delayed. Israel said, you know what? Make us a God that will go before us. Make us an idol. Hallelujah. And if you check here, it's saying there that the Lord is saying that they are a stiff-necked people. Brethren, I pray that we will not be a people that are stiff-necked. We will be a people that hear his voice, submit to him, and allow him to walk within us to bring about a change. In verse 4, and when the people heard this evil tiding, they mourned, and no man did put on his ornament. For the Lord has said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. And then if you read, let's keep a bit for time. In verse 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up these people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. Verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I might know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Verse 14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee what? Rest. 15. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. So he was so particular about God going with him. He does not want angels, but God himself, because he knows what God can do. Angel cannot change a man, but God can change a man. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 15. And it says there, verse 16, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be what? Separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do these things. Also thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me what? Thy glory. Praise the Lord. Moses said something there. He said that the difference of God going with them, verse 16, is that his presence is what that will make the difference between them and the people out there. Praise the Lord. That is the difference. Brethren, the songs we sing, the meetings we have in our gatherings, that's why I'm so pleased. I just thank the Lord, because when we come here, we sing a song, and someone says, no, let's stop that song. Let's sing it with our whole heart. You see, because the difference between the songs, between the words we share, between the things we do, is that we say, Lord, we want your presence to be center in our gathering. Let it not be the melody, but his presence, his touch, is what makes the difference. And even me as a Christian, when I'm here in this gathering, now, God, it is you I'm looking for. Lord, I open up my heart to you. And as you do that, brethren, the Lord will come in. The Lord will fill us up. Praise the Lord. So you see that Moses said, Lord, when he says to him, go ye, one man said in 2 Kings, he said, but please go with us. Do what? Go with us. Go with us. And so, you see, this is so critical. Because sometimes, even in the coming year, even the mission fields, things will get so different in the coming year that when we hear go, sometimes your heart wants to do some things. But brethren, let us pull back and say, Lord, go with us. Lord, give us direction. Lord, lead us. Show us what to do in this matter. Praise the Lord. And even in our own life, say, God, I will not go alone. You have to go with me. Let me rush that verse again. 2 Kings. Because there's a lot of things there that I want to bring forth regarding his presence. Now, it says there in verse 4, so he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down a wood. Because see, it's so critical that God goes with us, brethren, in everything we do. Because we would, no matter how we go, brethren, there are storms ahead. Hallelujah. There are storms ahead. And going with the Lord becomes so critical. Hearing from him, understanding his heartbeat in a matter, is so critical. You know, I remember the captain of the Titanic, when he built the ship, they asked him, how safe is the Titanic? He said that this ship is so well designed and so secure that not even God can sink it. Hallelujah. He was so confident. Hallelujah. Friends, sometimes in our life, you know, I hear some things, I say, oh, but this thing is not even a prayer point. Brethren, it is a prayer point. He was so confident. Say, this is not a prayer point. Everything is a prayer point. Every decision we make is a prayer point. Do you know the ship traveled and they were cruising? And as they were coming, I think to America or so, it hit an iceberg. And the ship that they alleged that God cannot sink was sunk by an iceberg. Praise the Lord. Brethren, we live in a time where God must go with us. Hallelujah. And then it says there in verse 4. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down a wood. Hallelujah. And you know, wood speaks of humanity. Hallelujah. They cut down a wood. Hallelujah. And it says in verse 5, as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, my Lord, for it was borrowed. Hallelujah. It says, as one was felling a beam, the axe head that was being used to cut down the wood fell. Wood is my humanity. The axe head is the you know, put it this way, it's like the presence of God. It's like the strength, the cutting edge. I need his presence to cut down my humanity. I need his strength to cut down, hallelujah, to move from the outer court to the holies of holies. But as they were cutting the beam, something happened there. He says the axe head, the cutting edge, fell off and fell into the water. Obviously, the water of humanity. And he cried and said, alas, my master, for it was borrowed. Brethren, you know, a lot of ass head has fallen away from the church. And guess what? The church is still going forward, like as if nothing has been lost. His presence in most fellowships is not there. Most congregation, the axe head has fallen away. I grew up in the village in Nigeria, and I've seen axe and the axe head. The axe head, you have a wood that's attached to it, and you use it to cut down trees. Now, tree is humanity. The axe head is what gives the energy to be able to cut it down. That this human nature within. The power of God, his spirit, the true word of God, the apostolic word, is what God will use at this time to cut down humanity. Human strength. Human energy. Hallelujah. But that has fallen into the sea of humanity. The world has swallowed it up. It's been lost in the world. And guess what? The church is still going on. Wood on wood. No wonder there's no difference. Moses said, if you don't go with me, I am not going. The axe head has fallen into water. Men are using wood to cut down wood. It's impossible. There won't be a change. There won't be a transformation. There won't be a quickening. As long as men are using wood on wood, there will not be a change. And that's why I thank God for this apostolic word we're hearing.
Hallelujah.
It's a word that will bring about a change. Because God is in it. Hallelujah. God is in it. Wood on wood. A man. There's this movement in America they call the Seekers, where you preach the word. Don't get a good pastor who is very eloquent, who is charismatic. Brush him up. Don't mention the blood. It's barbaric. Don't mention sin. Don't mention judgment. Yeah. Don't mention it. The cross. And leave the message. Let it not last for 30 minutes or 20 minutes. And let it be uplifting, motivational. Wood on wood. The axe head has fallen. Wood on wood. It cannot bring a change. It cannot change. One man gave a questionnaire to his church. You know, the purpose-driven church and purpose-driven life is from the pit of hell. Purpose-driven church. Purpose-driven church. A church of wood on wood. Purpose-driven church. Oh, the young ones, get them activities that will excite them. Hallelujah. Wood on wood. And one man tried it in his church. One of my friends came from America. He traveled across the Atlantic, came to the UK years ago with the message of the purpose-driven church. It's a message. And they will teach you that there will be some members of the church that will resist the message. What you do is to isolate them in the fellowship. Isolate them. And before you know it, a lively church is taking over. And the doctrine of the purpose-driven church is established. Wood on wood. Hallelujah. And brethren, even in my own life too, I say, God, have mercy. Lord, the axe head has it fallen away? Has your presence departed? Lord, what motivates me? Lord, what eats me up? Lord, where is my treasure? Is it wood on wood? Lord, go with us. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 5, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master for what it was borrowed. Hallelujah. Brethren, our life, we don't own our lives. You know, when Paul writes, Paul will say, I, the bond servant of Jesus Christ. We are bond servants of Jesus Christ. This life we have was borrowed to us. We don't own this life. We don't own it. But this man, he said, alas, for it was borrowed. God gave you this life. He gave me a spirit. Gave you a spirit to pull us to Christ. And that spirit have a time frame to do his job. Bible says when a man dies, his spirit returns back to God and say, God, I tried to pull him to you. He responded or he didn't respond. Brethren, our life is borrowed to us by God. We don't own our life. Bible says we should glorify God in our body. That our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We should glorify God in our body. Years ago, there was a song that is my life. No, it's not my life. It's a life he gave me. It was borrowed. But you see, this man began to cry. He said, alas, my Lord. For it was what? Borrowed. And look at the cry. You know, I have things in my... You see, brethren, you can have deliverance. Amen. If you sincerely long for deliverance from God. This soul can be transformed, can be changed. Can hook up to God. But it depends on you and me. It's a choice we make. He said, alas, it was borrowed. There was a cry in my heart. When I was spending time on my job, I said, Lord, have mercy. Lord, the reason I live is not to make a living. Is to worship you. You see, when God sees your heart cry, he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy strength, all thy might. Brother, if you do that, no giant can stand before you. Nothing can hold you back. In my life, I struggled with issues. And I will pray. And I will ask Brent to lay hands on me. And God spoke to me and said, even if you call Samuel or Moses to lay hands on you, that issue you have there will still remain because you love it. And because you love it, you submitting to it. And his servant you will be. You love it. You don't want to let it go. You're crying, oh Lord, I need your touch. And God is coming and you're going backwards. God is coming and you're going backwards. I need the touch of the Lord. He's coming and you're going backwards. Because you love it. The Bible says that Jesus loved righteousness and hated wickedness. And as you cry to God, you know, I was so amazed. I said, you know, when God set me free from besetting sin, my goodness. Says when the Lord turned back the captivity of Zion, were like men that dreamed. Lord, how did it happen? Hunger for God. As you hunger for God, God will break the barriers. My shackles are gone. My spirit is free. Hallelujah. Crying to God. Alas, my master, it was borrowed. There's an intensity. There's an energy. That your whole life depends on it. Lord, if you don't come with me, I am finished. There is no plan B. It's God or nothing. And God will bring deliverance. Paul said to King Agrippa, he said, "Oh King, why do you think it incredible that God can raise the dead? God can change my soul. Hallelujah. God can do it. There is no habit God cannot break down. It depends on me." Brethren, I was surprised. I was battling. But God said, "When you're ready, I will set you free. When you're ready, I will do what? Set you free." You know, it says somewhere that in Kings, that they feared the Lord and served their idols. You fear the Lord. You love His fellowship. But you still love your idols. I remember an incident with Rachel in Genesis 31 and 35. Oh, yeah. Rachel lived with Jacob. Rachel have heard about the God of Israel. But Rachel still cleaved to her idols. She loved her idols, but she also loved the God of Israel. She loved her idol. She loved her idol. My God, she loved it. And John says, "My brethren, flee from idols." Rachel loved the idols. And God is a God of love. God gave her chances to get rid of those idols. I remember when Laban came after them. She lied. But she had the idol with her, but she lied. She said, "No, it wasn't there." God still gave her chances to come aright. In Genesis 35, God moved Jacob to make a passionate speech and said, "God is saying to us, we should return back to Bethel to seek Him in truth and in spirit. But God is saying, if anyone has any idol, should do what? Give it up." Rachel had a chance. She did not. And in that same Genesis 35, Rachel was given birth. And she died. God warned her. Gave her chances upon chances. Brother, you know, I'm a testimony that God can break familiar spirits. It comes from a cry from God. A heart cry. You see, the spirit world knows when you're sincere. They know. They discern. They know when you cry. Because you see, you cannot be holding something that belongs to someone else and expect deliverance. The spirit know it. They know it. God set me free. But they know that you don't mean it. Paul, we know. Christ, we know. But who are thou? We know. They know. They can discern it. They can smell it. They can smell idols. Give it up. And as God sees your heart, and I remember I was crying to God. God said, you love it. And guess what? God was right. I loved it. I loved it. Even when brethren would pray for me, you know, you will say amen, but in your heart you say, oh God, let Ishmael live. Oh God, let Ishmael live. And God said, no, Ishmael cannot live with the son of promise. Do you think that it was easy for Abraham to send away Ishmael? It wasn't easy. But Abraham did it. It wasn't easy. God was telling me this evening, you know, you can say, oh Abraham, these men are supermen. No, God said, these are men of like passion. These are men of like passion. The only thing is that they made up their mind to seek God and to walk with God, no matter what it will cost them.
Hallelujah.
Say, they seek for a country whose builder and whose maker is God.
Oh, yes.
Once our mind is made up, I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back. Once a mind is made up, no spirit of hell can hold you back. They can't. We sing, oh, hear me, oh, spirit of darkness, do you know where we stand? Sometimes they laugh. They laugh. They laugh. They laugh. Say, God, this man doesn't mean it. Say, oh, check his heart. He has my anger in him. He has my strife, my greed in his heart. He's there. But as we cry unto God, God, I don't want this in my heart. Lord, I want to break in. I want to die at the golden altar. I want to lay it down before you. You know, God was telling me about the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit was given to us. You know, the Holy Spirit in Pentecost has been used for merchandise. The gift of the Spirit. But forgetting about the dealing of the Spirit. The Bible says, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the flesh. Mortify. And it's painful. It's painful. I remember Brother said something. He said he was praying for God for anger to be delivered. And God sent a man to beat him up. God sent a man to beat him up. A man came and beat him up. A man he can beat him up. And he said that God gave him the grace not to respond. And he broke the power of that spirit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, spirits depends on humans for life. The spirit of loss doesn't have an eye. He needs an eye to lust through. And I say, God, I will not lend my eye to that spirit.
Amen.
Spirit of fornication requires a body. I would not lend my body to them to express their wickedness. A spirit that wants to curse, blaspheme, needs a mouth to swear. I will not give my mouth for them to swear. Hallelujah. Spirit of anger, rage, needs emotion to express himself. Lord, I yield my emotion to you. Praise the Lord. Let me rush through this and end. And then he says, verse 5, alas, my master, it was borrowed. You see, the cry was intense. Alas, my God, my God. And David realized that. In Psalm 51, that Brother Martin read, David said, Lord, you desire truth in the inward man. You know, I read a scripture in John 5, 39. Christ told the Pharisees, he said, you search the scriptures, thinking that in them you'll find eternal life. But they refused to come to him, to yield to him, to get a true life. You know, hallelujah, that they search the scriptures, thinking in it they find eternal life, but they refuse to come to yield to him and to serve him in truth and in spirit. There's a cry of David. David cries, say, Lord, you desire truth in the inward man. And when he cried that cry, you see, God brings brokenness. You have the way of Moses. You have the way of David. Moses allowed God over a period of 40 years to break him. By the time God finished dealing with Moses, Moses said, I cannot talk. He needs a spokesman. But when you read the Acts of Apostles, the Bible says that Moses was eloquent. Very eloquent. But God has dealt with him over 40 years. He lost every natural ability. His whole strength relies on God and God alone. David, in his own part, and God worked out in Moses brokenness. Bible says he was the meekest man that lived. But David was a lovely king, but also postponed God's dealing until he ran into a crisis. And that broke him. How do I want God to deal with me? As I come for this meeting now, the words are coming. And I respond to God. Or do I want a crisis? Because what George was saying about the oil, we must buy the oil. Do you want to buy it now? As God brings a word to you, you respond to the word and say, God, give me the grace. I want to allow you to accumulate. Like David, and God broke him in a crisis. And he said, Lord, you deserve truth in the inward man. Yes. Hallelujah. But that came with a hefty cost to David. Alas, my master, it was borrowed. Then verse 6, let me begin to round up. And the man of God said, where fell it? Remember, the axe head has fallen. The churches today are still using wood on wood. They're using wood on wood. That's why men are not being changed. The pastor in America heard that called men to come and purpose driven church to come. They came around. They told him, do this. And after a while, he sent out a questionnaire to the members and said, tell us how the church is helping you. And the questionnaire was anonymous. Don't put your name in it. And the church members put in, one said, I am a murderer. Another one said, I'm a rapist. The other one said, I'm a pedophile. The other one said, he's an adulteress. Because wood on wood cannot bring a change. It's God that can bring a change. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then it says there, and the man of God, verse 6, said, where fell it? And this is very, very critical with God. Bro, Martin was talking here. He said, you have to tell God the way it is. Where fell it? Christ said, remember from the height where you have fallen. Where fell it? It could be your job. you got a new job, and from then onwards, you lost your cutting edge in God. You know, it could be different things to all of us, but you would know where it fell. Where fell it? Pinpoint it to God. Say, God, it is here. Hallelujah. There could be a friend you made, and the friend is pulling you away from the true word of God. Where fell it? Pinpoint it to God. This is the point. Because God, you see, Jesus, I was amazed when Jesus met the blind Bartimaeus. He knew he was blind. But he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Tell me what you want me to do for you. He said, that I might see. Where fell it? From what point did you begin to lose this theme? His life. Hallelujah. And then he says, and he showed him the place. Say, God, please, Lord, my job in London was more central for me than you. Lord, that is where it fell. Help me. Help me, Lord. Lord, my priority is here. I can spend time. You know, America is sweet. Believe me, brethren. You guys are living in America. America is sweet. Goodness. I had a big American Jeep. Hallelujah. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to Houston on my American Jeep. And I need a hat. You know, like a cowboy. Hallelujah. America is good. Your freeway is good. In England, it's tight in England. Tight roads. The freeway is good. Where we live in the cabin here, my goodness. In fact, I went to Barak's house. I said, my goodness. English Prime Minister, don't even live there. It's tight. America is nice. TV is 24 hours. Coast to coast. Hallelujah. America is nice. And that is why we must align with God. Because when God wants to bring destruction to a nation, if your heart is not with God, you begin to blame God. I'm telling you. You say, God, how could you do this to my lovely city? You know, in Sodom, when God began to say, I will judge Sodom, Bible says that Lot was a righteous man. You wouldn't have known unless you read Peter. Because he looked wicked, Lot. But what happened? Even when an angel came to pull him, Lot was still lingering because of the love of Sodom. That love overwhelmed him. But that's a place you don't want to be. For the love of America to overwhelm me or overwhelm you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even his wife was consumed. Because she couldn't bear it. How could this God destroy Sodom? Where I grew up in. Where I loved. But God did it. That's why we have to know the way of God. Moses knew his way. Israel knew his acts. And that's why Israel always struggled with God. Struggled. They only knew his acts. Things God can do for them. But they didn't understand the way of God. Praise the Lord. Let me quickly. He says here, and the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it thither. And the iron did swim. He cut down a stick. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was bruised for our transgression. Yes. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ died for us on the cross. Hallelujah. He cut down a stick. He began to apply. Seek God. Apply his life. walk with God. Say, God, please restore me back. And the cutting edge in God began to be restored in him. But guess what happened in the last verse? And I'll end with that. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Everything God has done in this conference depends on you and me to take it up and run with it. Amen. Praise Amen. The Lord. Amen. Take it up and run with it. The songs we sang, the words God has brought to us, take it up
yes.
and run with it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Take it up and run. You know, God always, you know, we struggle a lot with issue of God and man. What God has to do and what man has to do. Some says he has done it all, which is true. But we have a responsibility to take it up and run with it. That fire that God provided, take it up. Praise the Lord. If you go through the scriptures, that team runs across the scriptures. God will give the grace, the enablement. But you have to take it up and run yeah, with it.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible says in Jude, unto him who is able to keep you from falling. Then Jude also said, keep yourself in the love of God. Hallelujah. God can keep you, but also keep yourself what? In the love of God. In Galatians, the Bible talks about bear one another's burden. Also says in verse 6, verse 4, so it says, let every man bear his own what? Burden.
Yes,
God has a part. You have a part.
Yes.
It says that it is God that willeth in us both to do of his will. Eh? Hallelujah. And then it says what? Walk out. In the same line, it says, walk out what? Your salvation with fear and trembling. God is working in me, but I'm also walking out. God is working within, and I'm walking out my salvation with fear and trembling. So God. That's why the lampstand, you know, union with Christ, you know, union with him. God walking in me, and I'm yielding to God, and God bringing forth his purposes. I want one more last thing. You know, when God delights in a people, you know what God does? When God delights in a people, he brings fire from heaven.
Yes.
To consume sacrifice. Hallelujah. When he delights in the people,
Hallelujah.
He brings fire from heaven to consume sacrifice. And I say, God, let me be a sacrifice, holy and acceptable, consumed in your praise. Praise God. That was why Nadab and Abihu offer unto God strange fire. Because they waited and God was not there. But they have to intervene. And when God delights in us, he himself will come down in fire. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord. We bless you. Lord, we bless you. We yield our soul to you, Lord. We pray that you that have given us all that pertains to life and godliness, that you will cause us to rise up and take up this word you've given us. For you said to Elijah, run, arise, eat and eat, for the journey is far. But Lord, in our own case, the journey is so short now. The time is so short. Father, I pray that we will rise up and take up, my God, this word you're bringing to us and to eat it. And we pray that it will bring about a change within us. In Jesus' name. Bless you, brethren.